I want to introduce our topic and cover some of the basic points today, and then pick up on some of the discussion next week. So we have the Gemara on Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. We've been talking about Masne Shomer Chinam Lios Keshomer Sachar, how the Shomrim can modify their liability rules. In the last Chabura, we spent a lot of time discussing Masna Mashkas Batorah. Here, we want to take up the question, what does the Shomer have to do, what does the Mafkid have to do in order to make the modification legally binding? What formal act has to be performed in order to effect this legal change? Okay, so we have two views in the Gemara. Evan, did you get a chance to see the Gemara yet? Not yet. Rabbeinu Shmuel, did you get a chance to see the Gemara or also in finals? Rabbeinu Adam?
Sadly, I have not seen it either.
Okay. Cole?
This is the same Gemara that we saw. This is the same Gemara we saw last week, right? Yeah.
So what does the Gemara say? You see the highlighted Gemara here?
This is exactly the same Gemara we've been. Yeah. So you mean the underline?
Yeah, we'll read this. What's the machlokas here? So Bimai.
Meaning that you can change the terms of the shmira by doing like some kind of kinyan sudar.
Yeah, by performing a maisa kinyan. Good. Right. So you need, according to Shmuel, you need a maisa kinyan to effect the legal change. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. So what does Rabbi Yochanan say?
Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu tema b'shelo kana miyado, v'hi hana d'kanafik le kala d'inish mehimnahu damar u'mashabed nafshe.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Even though there's no formal maisa kinyan, so there's no raising of the handkerchief, the hana'a generated by the public knowledge that the mafkid trusts the nifkad, that the owner trusts this bailiff, seals the shibud.
Yeah. So we have two views in the Gemara whether a formal kinyan is required. I want to pose is, how do we understand Rabbi Yochanan's view? Is Rabbi Yochanan making a claim about kinyanim in general, that hana could replace a maisa kinyan? And then Shmuel's just saying when you don't have hana, a kinyan is required? Or is this unique to the shomer relationship that we could somehow dispense with kinyanim? But it's not a general theory that kinyanim could be dispensed with when you have hana.
Don't we have this also by Adam Chashev in Kedushin?
Yeah, so there are a few cases, and I want to look at those cases on Tuesday. Other cases in halacha where we do away with the requirement of a maisa kinyan. But like for an arev, I think the Gemara says, bahi hana gamar mishabe nafshe. For things that are done in public sometimes, the Gemara says you could do away with the Maisa Kinyan. So yes, I want to look at that broader question to see when can Hana or something else replace the requirement of a Kinyan. Mm-hmm. But that's like a general halachic question about Kinyanim and when they could be swapped out for something else. The other possibility is that, again, that Rabbi Yochanan's view is not about a general theory of kinyanim and hana, but something more limited to the shomrim arena. Why would this be limited to shomrim? Anybody have a sense off the top of their head why this might be limited to shomrim?
I mean, I would say the source of hana is limited to shomrim.
What do you mean? That's fine. The question is whether the mechanism is limited to shomrim. We know that it's not limited to shomrim.
Well, why might it be limited to, like, why might Rabbi Yochanan's view here be limited to this type of scenario within Shomrim, this ability to get rid of the Kinyan?
I'm not sure I understand the question you're asking. Bahi hana gamer meshavet nafshe is a that is not in fact restricted to shomrim. We have that elsewhere.
Right.
Although it doesn't work.
We know that Shmuel here requires a kinyan, correct?
Yeah, I guess the cases elsewhere in Shas where that kind of thing works are cases where there's some pre-existing legal relationship that's being edited by some new agreement, where basically, like, so you can't affect a sale this way. A sale affected this way is just a gift. But I think the idea is, like, you can, this kind of thing doesn't work. This kind of intangible item doesn't work as consideration in a standard exchange. But I think the idea here is that, like, because you're developing a relationship as opposed to creating a relationship that just dissolves, it's enough to, I don't know, I guess, something like that.
I think something along those lines, meaning we might distinguish between a case where you're trying to create some sort of chalos or you're trying to generate a transaction, that's going to require a kinyan. Here you're just trying to modify it by figuring out which track you're going to be stepping into, like which track of, like, the Torah provides for there to be a shomrim relationship. We're just trying to figure out which track of shomrim you're stepping into. And maybe you don't need a kinyan to determine or to alter the track that you're stepping into. Does that make sense, Cole? Is that?
That sounds right. Yeah.
In that case, what's the deal with the hana then?
Okay. Like, why do you need anything, Adam? Is that your...
Yeah.
Yeah, so you might say to simply alter, or as Cole said, to edit the track. It's enough to have hana.
The kiddushin creates the relationship, but you're, I think, yeah.
Right, yeah, Cole. So that's the exact point. When you have kiddushin, or the case of the arev, there's already a pre-thing. Like, there's already some sort of goal that everyone's trying to get at.
Well, for arev, if I just say... For arevis, it works, I think, at the end of the
right, basket. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So it's like there's this difference between, like, piggybacking on that's already there,
yeah.
In which case it's sufficient to have hana, as opposed to generating some new chalos, trying to create an ex ante legal relationship de novo.
Yeah, that's.
I would also add that hana might just be the minimum bar, like the least thing you can do to show that you're, you know, that there's like either das or there's some sort of just someone recognizing something. Could be hana, and like, so there's nothing really about hana itself that's doing anything here. It's just, what's the minimum bar to show that both parties acknowledge, oh, one gets hana from the other?
So that's like an interesting question about like consideration and, you know, hana, like what's the role that the hana itself is playing here, Evan, right? I think that's definitely something we want to pursue.
And separate that from the transaction mechanism,
right? Correct. So what one question that we're going to have to deal with is, in general, when can you swap out hana for kinyanim, as Rabbi Yochanan seems to do in this case? Is this case unique or is it generalizable? if it's unique, we'd have to explain why it's unique in the same way that the Arev case is unique. So we'll have to look at those cases. And furthermore, we want to know, as Evan says, what's the significance of hana? Like, why is hana the thing that's able to alter the relationships? I want to now zoom in on an internal shomrim question that takes a stand on whether this bahi hana thing is unique or not. So the Rishonim here are all bothered by a contradiction between Rabbi Yochanan's view in Bava Metzia Tzadi Dalet, which we just read, and Rabbi Yochanan's view in Bava Metzia and Chasam Adalet. Yakir, did you have a chance to see Bava Metzia and Chasam Adalet?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the issue there? What's going on in Nunchas?
So Well, somewhat briefly, I guess there's a case in which it's clear that there's a case in which there's a brisa that implies that there's a case of hekdesh of shmiras hekdesh where a shomer sachar should have been chayav, which is surprising because the Mishnah says that shomer sachar is pater for hekdesh.
So this is really important. We have the Mishnah says that avadim shtaros and karkos are exempted from shomrim rules. They're immune from, or they're, at least they don't have shomrim rules. And yet the Gemara there seems to quote a brisa contradicting this general principle, in which the shomer sachar is chayiv for gneva aveda in a hektish case. Is that right, Yakir? Yeah, the hektish case is pretty cool. What was the case over here? Asochar sapoel.
It's cases where the based on the context that Rashi gave, I guess. Cases where the gizbar hires shomrim to help guard various aspects of the paraduma process.
Yeah. So by the way, side fun fact: did you guys know that they had these tinokos that were, I guess, set aside for life to be tahar and never become tame to deal with the para?
Yeah. Quarantined.
Yeah. This is a known halacha.
Yeah.
It's a Mishnah.
Tinok, like little kids.
That they were lo nitmu me'olam. That the Mishnah says that explicitly in Yuma.
Yeah. Mishnah and Parah. The Mishnayos and Parah described they would like raise them on like they raise them in these like in these they would raise them in these chatzeros in Yerushalayim, which were built on top of rocks.
Yeah, right. La Rashi says the Rashi quotes it over here. Shayim Megaldenosan Lepara b'chatzeros habenios bislayim, right?
Yeah.
So pretty awesome. What's the deal, Yaki? They were never allowed to leave their special yards.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It's pretty intense, no?
I don't know. The people were maybe stayed much more local back then, so maybe it wasn't as big a deal as we're imagining it to be.
World was enchanted.
Right.
The sacred canopy not only had all its branches but all its leaves. Oh.
So you have a shomer who's tasked with keeping the para tahar and these tinokos tahar, and then he breaches his shmira. The Mishnah says he's chayiv, but that contradicts the rule of Einish, that there's no shmira for hekdeshos. So what does the Gemara answer, Yakir?
So the Gemara answers that if you have a kinyan, then you could get around this. This rule in the Mishnah that you're generally going to be potter for shviras hekdesh.
Yeah. If you do a kinyan, then you could be chayiv for hekdesh. By the way, I think this. How well known do you think this halacha is? Or it is? It's like a known. So we say, you know, there's no din shmira for hekdeshos and karkos and avadim. But if you're Mekabel Shmira through a Kenyan, then you could be Chayiv, right? The Gemara here is pretty explicit about it, and you can see the Rambam is pretty explicit about this. I don't think this halacha is so well known. Yakir, tell us about the Rambam and Bez Aleph here. Just read through it here quickly for us.
Yes, the Rambam says, Shlosh din emir b'torah barba, shomrim inan ala b'talton, shal yisrael, v'shal hedyot, shnemar kesef, v'chilim, v'chol b'imo, yatsu karkos, yatsu avadim shuk shul karkos, yatsu ashtar shingu famamam, yatsu akdish, shnemar ki tini shal ehu, yatsu nifse akum. So all these exceptions are learned from the Pasuk. Mikan amr chamim, havadim ashtar shal karkos akdish, shimar chino shal ehu nishpav, nesachar sachar inu shalim. Then the Rambam says, Yim kan miyadu chayav b'achri yuzah.
Yeah, so that's pretty explicit that if you do a kinyan on these things, then you'll have all the normal liabilities of a shomer. Okay. So it's not like hekdesh is meikar adin mufko ligamri. It just requires like the extra step of being Mikabel Shmira through a Kenyan. We'll actually talk about this. This is one of the background questions in our Sugya, which we're going to explore more on Tuesday. And that is, when you are Mikabel Shmira in these cases, does that simply trigger the normal dinim of Shomrim? Or is it like an external hischaivus, trying to mimic the liability rules of Shomrim? Right? Does everybody see that question? And you might say a conceptual nafkamina here is whether it's true that you could be a Shomer with liabilities on Hekdeshos, Avadim, and Karkos. If you think that a Kenyan revives the dinim of Shomrim, then you could be a true Shomer on these assets. If you think you're just mimicking the type of liability, then you're not truly a Shomer. Anybody see that issue? Anybody have a thought? Yakir, you have a thought on this offhand?
I'm just thinking, is the Rambam's wording there, Chayav Acharison, is that how he would typically word a regular Yav Shmira, or does that sound like it's something slightly different?
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting question. We're going to have to look carefully at how the Rambam formulates it also. I think that might be a very nice idea. Just to forecast something we'll look at on Tuesday, Minchas Chinuch, which I have later on in the source sheet, is Mesupak. This Minchas Chinuch down here is Mesupak whether you pay Meitav, like a Shomer does in these cases, or whether you pay from non-Meitav as a normal Bachov would pay. So that's like an interesting nafkamina as to whether we're actually in Shomrim land or in just general Hischaivos land. Okay, but we'll come back to that question about what's the nature of the liability when you opt in. Okay, so what are all the Rishonim bothered by? We have the Gemara on Chesamid Aleph, and we have the Gemara on Sadi Dalet Amid Aleph. Notice that both are Memras of Rabbi Yochanan. What's the issue bothering the Rishonim? Cole, do you remember what the Rishonim are bothered by?
I did not see the Rishonim.
Okay, Akira, so what are the Rishonim bothered by?
We're quickly approaching the point where I haven't seen either, but we're not quite there yet.
Presumably he needs a kinyan in one case, but not in the other.
Yeah.
Ah, basically. Holes like a Rishon. See that? Excellent.
I just read the Gemara.
That's like the Rav used to say, like when I was growing up, we weren't spoiled. We didn't have cheat svarim like the Rashba and the Meiri. You know?
I think he said that to your father, no? It's the story I heard.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the Rav ever said anything to me, but
cheat svarim like the Rashba and the Meiri.
Right, something along those lines. Yeah. great. Exactly. Why is it that on Nun Gimel, on Nun Ches, Rav Yochanan requires the Kenyan to opt in to Shmira of Karkos and Hekdesh, whereas on Sadi Dalid, Rav Yochanan says it's sufficient to have Hahihana to up your liability to become like a Shoel when you're just a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Safer.
Isn't it what I said? I think that's what I said.
What's your answer, Cole?
You need a Kenyan in order to create, but not to edit.
Okay, excellent. Tosos and the Ramban and the Rashba seem to offer an argument exactly along those lines. So let's look at their formulation. Cole's saying there's a distinction to be drawn between creating liability on the one hand and simply modifying liability on the other hand, right? So once you're a Shomer, to go from being Shomer type A to type B, that's just a modification. So Bahiyana is sufficient. But to create a status of a Shomer where there is none, which I guess Cole will say is the description of the Karka Hektish case, that's going to require a real Maisa Kenyan. So let's see. So what is Tosas is a little cryptic about this. In his first answer, though, what does he say? Yakir, do you see a Beis Shlomar?
Yeah, so Tosfos says that, to read it, Hachapachach and Shvil, Meshav Nafshe, below Kenyan, so that it depends, like, how wide a gap, like, what degree of alteration you're trying to create. So in this case, since you're jumping from a full Ptur to a full Chiyuv, the Hana will not suffice
Tosos is like, Tosos doesn't, you can see it's like poorly phrased almost, right? Like, because Tosos telling us how far you're trying to go, like you're going from 0 to 60, like to go from no chiyuv shvua to full liability, that requires a kinyan. But what would happen in Tosos if you're going to be a shomer chinam in the hekdesh case, right? So you're going from nothing to just shvua. Right, Yakir, what do you think?
Right. I don't think Tosos is clear about that at all. Yeah, it's, I don't think we have like information to know, like in Tosos's mind, is the distance from no shvua to shvua the same as the distance from shvua to right. being mishalim, or is it right. a greater distance?
Right, so it's not clear if Tosos is saying what Cole is saying, or if he's trying to say something about, right, how much modification are you trying to do? There's a lot of ways of reading this line in Tosos. But what Tosos says is that the cases are distinguished by the fact that in the Hektish case on Nemches, you're not even Chayiv a Shavua yet. So if you're trying to become Chayiv as a Shomer Sachar, you need a full Maisa Kenyan, which implies that in the Tzadi Dalid case, where you're going from Chayiv Shavua to Shoel, which is a minor change, it's sufficient to have Ahiyana. So that's Tosos' first answer. The Ramban, I think, gives us a sharper, better legal formulation of the distinction. So what does the Ramban say? Yakir, you want to take us through the Ikal Meimar?
Yeah, so it says Ikal Meimar, Shaini Hasam, Shehu Shomer Chinam, Vechim Chubudin HaShomrim, Mishtabi Dvar Milos Kshol, Fil Yosir Mishol. So since he's already, this probably is basically what Cole was saying.
But no.
No,
because the Ramban...
What the Ramban says, then we'll figure out how it relates to Cole.
Okay, so the Ramban says since he's already a shomer of some sort, so the changing to be a different kind of shomer hana suffices. Of all kinds, in the klav sarsa shomerim, afa pish shalan unatza lein schar, since he's not precisely since these objects are not objects to which the dinim of shmira apply, it is impossible to create a din shmira without a kinyan.
Yeah. The way I understood this is that the Ramban saying once you're in the parsha of shomrim, you could travel between different shomrim sukkim, or within different shomrim paths, but if you're trying to enter the world of shomrim, like in the hektish case, you need a maisa kinyan. Does that make sense, Yakir?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I'll say there's a further diak that it almost, regarding the question and Yakir's diak in the Rambam before, about whether you're actually entering the world of Shomrim or just trying to mimic the rules. You know, here it sounds from the Ramban that you actually are trying to enter into the world of Shomrim, right? Midin HaShomrim Ella Bikinyan, which to my mind sounds like through a Maisa Kinyan and Hekdesh, you actually become a Shomer with Dine Shomrim. Do you agree with that, Dia? Do you guys agree with that, Dia? Yeah, okay. Cool, you were saying this is not what you were saying?
No, it is. I thought he was. I was reading something as essential when I think it's in fact a detail. When the Ramban said "Ikal Meimar Shani Hasam Dehu," it doesn't matter. My errors.
Yeah, but I think this is really close to what you're saying.
That sounds right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All good.
Who needs the Ramban when you have Cole, right?
We are just reading the text.
All right. Great. Now let's just look at the Rashba's formulation quickly. I think the Rashba is mostly saying what the Ramban says. Yakir, you just want to take us through these two lines?
Right, so
key line.
Yeah. Aval kan she'inu b'sar shomrim klal, yashu es chayvel en kidin shomrim klal, elim kin kanum yado.
Yeah. So this is like the Ramban. I just have one diak here about what do you think of this phrase? Kidin hashomrim. He swaps out the Ramban's mem for a chaf. Is that significant to you? Or
yeah, seems significant.
Right. Meaning, if you take the kaf hadimyon seriously, it sounds like he's at least not jumping fully in for the actual dina. Like you're actually in shomrim land, right? So it could be for the Rashba as a possibility that you're just mimicking dina shomrim via kinyan, but not that you're actually a shomer on hektish stuff. Does everybody agree with that idea? Evan, you have a thought on it?
Not so much on the diuk, but more like, what does that mean? Like to say, if like we're reading the kiddin shomer, like he's not really a shomer, he's just kind of what, like picking up like these liabilities. Like
it's like a separate contract.
He's just like a worker who has a contract that is not so good for him, but like or is good for him. I don't know, like.
Well, the idea here is that you're not, according to this reading of the Rashba, you're not really a shomer on Hekdesh in this case. But in the same way that I'm paying you a schar, you're contractually obligating yourself to pay me money if certain conditions obtain. Right? And just think in terms of the Minchas Chinuch Nafkamin about whether you're paying Meitav like a shomer would pay, or whether you're paying non-Meitav, i.e. Beinonis, like a Bachol would pay. That's just like an interesting way. That's like an easy way of capturing the Nafsamina. Okay.
Not that he's nothing and just like taking upon some sort of like Chiyuv. It's really just out of like a contract/workers agreement thing. I guess that was the question.
Yeah. It's just like his chayvus. I could always agree to pay you money if certain things obtain. So that's what's happening over here. It's not that we're entering into the rules and procedures of shomer. Great. Okay, so just, I think we have definitely one important distinction. That's the Ramban's distinction. If you're trying to go from no shomrim into the world of shomrim, you need a kinyan. If you're just modifying, altering within shomrim world, then hahiyana is sufficient. Tosos may be saying something like that. It's just not clear from Tosos' formulation. Or Tosos is giving a different answer, which is it's not about being in or out of shomrim land. It's about how much you're trying to accomplish, right? So maybe if the liability jump from no shomrim to yes shomrim is minor, i.e. just to chiyuv shvua, maybe Tosos would now require a kinyan. But as Yakir said, we don't have enough information on Tosos to know what exactly is substantive view. Everybody with me so far? Yeah, great. Okay. I want to now look at second answer in Tosos, distinguishing between the cases. What's Tosos saying here? Inami? Yeah, Kira, you want to take us through Tosos answer number two?
Yeah, so the second answer, Inami Hasam Kimet Shavashai Kishavas, Rimalam Shishalav Hayanam Shavi Nafshe. So it sounds like Tosos, instead of distinguishing between different types of outcomes you're trying to produce, this is distinguishing between different types of Hana'a, and it's specifically the Hana'a that people consider you a Shoel. People think you're a Shoel. That's the Hana'a that you're a trustworthy Shoel. That's the Hana'a that suffices to create a kinyan. The hana'a, any hana'a that might be created in the hektish case would not be the same.
Yeah, or at least in the case as the Gemara envisions it, wouldn't be sufficient to generate the right hana'a.
Yeah.
So what's conceptually interesting about this answer, and how does it relate conceptually to the first answer?
So for our issue, this answer assumes that there is no difference between, and on the level of like the outcomes you're trying to create, there is no difference between all these distinctions that Tosos, the Ramban, and the Rashba give are not relevant.
Exactly. Meaning there really is no difference on this answer between Nunches and Sadi Dalid. Hahi Hana would be sufficient both to generate Dine Shomrim and to alter Dine Shomrim. So really, you never require a Kinyan in these cases. The reason why in one case Rabbi Yochanan does and in the other case Rabbi Yochanan doesn't is just like about the technicalities of the Metzius of whether there in fact is some Hana received by the Shomer. Is that right, Yakir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
So everybody see, this answer is really diametrically opposed to the first answer of Tosfos. And it says there is no substantive difference between all these cases. Hahiyana is sufficient. Hahiyana would be sufficient in principle to take you from being a non-shomer on karka to being a shomer with liabilities on karkos. So maker adin, you could become a shomer on karka simply by hahiyana. On Karkos Avadim and Sharos. Okay. Now, the Rush is pretty explicit about this. So the Shitu Kabetzes on Nunches quotes the Rush. And he says, he quotes the Yochanan, he quotes Tosa's question, and he says this. V'yesh lomar, shani gabi hedyot, shederech adam lishmor mamona ba'atzmo, v'ein rogil lismoch al acher, Nimsa kivan shema'amino mechabdo. Aval hektish, kach yesh lahamin ze kimoze, she'eno shel ze velo shel ze. So what's that answer saying? What's the Rush's distinction between the cases? Why in one case is a kinyan required and not in the other? Like Tosas' answer, that it's a mitzias question about whether in fact the shomer is receiving hana. But what's it? It's not about whether you're a shoel. What's the difference here? What's this point? Anybody? Adam?
I mean, it seems to be that since someone is worthy, considers you trustworthy, even without having to have all the dinim, that speaks volumes about you to a certain extent, sort of like having, like being a guarantor on a contract.
Yeah, so it's only if you're like the only way to get Hana, to receive the right Hana, is if you're getting some kavod out of the Shmira. And I guess there's an interesting argument. He's saying it's only considered to be like a mechubadik appointment if it's private property. Because, you know, private property, we all know, there's no tragedy to commons. Everybody's interested in taking care of it on their own, and you know, we're meticulous about our own stuff. But when it comes to like public hektish property, you know, I guess yesh lahamin zeh kemo zeh, she'eino shel zeh velo shel zeh. I guess the idea is that like there's nothing special about being the trustee or the shomer, because like somebody's got to take care of it, right? It's not like anybody is giving you some special kibud by appointing you a shomer. I don't know, I'm not sure if I agree with the Metzius here, but what do you make of the suggestion, Adam?
I mean, in the Hekdesh case, I mean, certain Hekdesh, right, you're chayav in the Achrayos, some of them you're not chayav in the Achrayos.
Okay.
Is that a chiluk here? Does that make a difference?
No, let's just talk about Hekdesh where there's no chayav Achrayos, so you don't get into those complications. But the idea is that there's no Hana in his view about being appointed a Shomer in Hekdesh. And then he throws in for good measure, the Ode of Hekdesh Bedili Minei Inchi Roy Lahamina Lachol Adam. You know, everybody's careful around Hekdesh property. Okay. Nobody wants to violate the Isra Mi'ila. So it actually requires less of a Shomer to watch Hekdesh property than private property.
Now, to my first thought was there's sort of like in the opposing directions. In the case of, like the case we give of Hedyot, you were becoming chayiv in fewer things. Right? The case of Hekdesh, you're now trying to make yourself chayiv in more things.
Do you mean like the, are you trying to say like Tosas' distinction?
No, not quite like Tosos distinction. It's maybe, I don't know which Tosos. I stepped away before for like 10 minutes to deal with my air conditioners getting installed. So I'm not sure what distinction we made there. But I mean, just in the case of the head yod, the person's just relying on you. Like, I'm not going to make you mechuyev anything. Like, you're just a
no, simple... No. In the head yod case, you are mechuyev in something. It's the fact that he's trusting you that gives you that sense of hana that you're considered a reliable person.
Right, exactly. It's like a certain...
The Rush's argument is that when it comes to Hekdesh, when you're appointed a shomer, there's no kavod that you're receiving either because people generally stay away from Hekdesh things, so you don't have to do much as a trustee of, as a shomer of Hekdesh, or because since it's public property in a certain way anyway, it belongs to Klal Yisrael or just the Hekdesh, it's not really a sign of somebody trusting you to be appointed the custodian of it. You see that, Adam?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to throw my own reading into here. Like, not the Russian reading, but a different reading. But yeah, I mean, like, I hear his reading.
Okay. So like the second answer of Tosos, this assumes that you could become Shomer on Hekdesh through Bahi Hana alone. Same for Karkos. There's no requirement of a Kenyan. Correct? Okay. Now, my question to you is, and let me just say a little more about this very quickly. The Beis Yosef in Choshen Mishpat Siman Shin Aleph quotes the Rambam that if you do a Maisa Kinyan on Hekdesh, Karka, and Avadim, then you could become a Shomer on them. But the Beis Yosef notes that the Tur omits this. V'lo yadati lama hishmita Rabbeinu. The Tur nowhere says that you require a Kinyan to become a Shomer and Avadim Shtaros and Hekdesh. So why do you think he omits that?
Wait, is the Beis Yosef saying that... Do you think that the Beis Yosef is saying that the Tur omitted the requirement for a Kinyan if you want to do this, or that the Tur doesn't think such an option exists?
Ah, good. It's not clear, right? The Tur himself doesn't say...
It would be kind of astonishing, I think, if you could just do it the same as you could do anything. That would be
okay. That's interesting, Cole.
Given that we like, it's a known thing that, like, you know, Dinei Shmira don't apply to certain kinds of property, right? So there's an override clause that, you know, you can override that, but it would kind of be weird if the Tur had kind of just ignored. It would be weird if there weren't an extra, right, some kind of requirement to over some extra thing you needed to do.
Yeah.
Given that basically this kind of property doesn't, right.
Very good point. But you'll see the Shumas HaKri argues exactly what you don't like, which is that, oh, the reason why the Tur omitted the requirement of a Kinyan is because he thinks that, you know, you could really just be, you could become a Shomer through Hahihana alone. Like, you don't even need a Kinyan to become a Shomer on Hekdesh, Avadim, and Karka. And I think you're right, Cole, that's pretty surprising, right?
Right.
Look what he says. V'karo be'enai, shatur sover kedas aviv harash, which we just read. He quotes the Rush. Lomdim anu mitaraso shel harash, divi'idach dvarim she'ein din shomrim noheg behem, dehainu karkos avadim ushtaros, yuchol hischayev aleihem bidvarim bilvad, kiderach shem hischayev shomrachinam lios kishoel, v'chule. So it's pretty remarkable, right? And Cole, I think you're totally right to say that this really does violence to, like, the whole notion that Avadim Shtaros and Karkos are so different when it comes to Shmira. Because what he's saying is that
Is this talking about Achrayus or a Shvua in particular?
Either, I think.
Is there any Gemara that says that Shmira is... Or the Mishnah. There is a Mishnah in Shvuos that says that, like, Shvuas Shomrim doesn't apply to... Karkos Avadim Shtaros. Is there a, but Shavua, the but Shua is only one part of Shmira. Is there anywhere in Shas that says that Shmira globally doesn't?
Yeah, well, it applies to Tashlumin also because it says that Nose Sachar is in a Mishalim. Right?
So Chaya Bachrayosan in a sense becomes a vacuous thing at that point. You don't have to pay, you don't have to take a Shvua. It's kind of like, you know, just your word of honor or whatever it is.
Right.
All right, that makes sense.
Okay, so.
But yeah, I think it's kind of an astonishing fact.
Yeah, exactly. So according to the Chumash Kri, he thinks that any time you're appointed a shomer on a karkos, avadim, and shtaros, and you accept it, you're miskaya bidvarim bilvad, which I think is a radical readjustment of the notion of of there not being shmira on avadim, shtaros, to karkos. And he says, the reason why the tour didn't have to quote this din of requiring Rakinian, because the only time you would require Rakinian is for Hekdesh stuff, because it's unique, according to the Rosh, it's uniquely about Hekdesh that there's no Hana. But for Karkos, if you're appointed a Shomer, same for Avadim, there is Hana, because that's private property, and it's like considered like a respectful appointment that the guy trusts you when he's responsible for his stuff. So that's a pretty... I think radical conclusion of the Chumash Kri. Yakir, do you have thoughts on this?
No. I have to look at it more, but right now, no.
Okay. Now, what I want us to think about, and we'll talk more about this on Tuesday, is why is it that we could just get rid of the Maisa Kinyan? Especially in the Karka case. But I mean, so, like, why is Hahiyana sufficient?
Like, why is Hahiyana sufficient in the case where you're creating a relationship?
Exactly, yeah. Like, why should that be sufficient?
Look, I mean, if you, this is like a, you know, if you, apparently, Rav Chaim thought that all kinyanim or kinyanei das are just like, you know, or that for certain kinds of kinyanim, what you really need is a kinyan das, and hahi hana is, you know, just like the minimal externalization.
Okay.
That you need. Meaning, he doesn't go as far as the like contract as an exchange of promises view. He thinks you need some kind of consideration, but he's willing to be extremely abstract in principle about what counts as consideration. So
yeah, so this is like drawing a very large conclusion from a few small sugyas. But yeah, I mean that you'd say something along the lines that Hana is just as good as kinyanim in some areas of Jewish law, right? Or Hana has the kernel of what a kinyan actually is. Right, Cole?
Yeah. There are contemporary tshuvas about, you know, like the, whether a handshake even, whatever, the Rishona, it's not such a, whether you need a maisa, that's it, some recognizable, in which case you do want to begin to say, look, this is just, all we need is an exchange of promise. Dibor isn't enough. That's the first Rambam in Hilchos Kinyanim. But but as long as you have some act, right, that's signifying some intentional act, whatever it is, then that's enough. Or do you need some to transfer some? Hahi hana is still a consideration view of contracts. Right. It requires the transfer of some property interest. It's just we're willing to be like super lenient about what that constitutes.
Yeah, so this is an interesting point where this last point you're making, Cole. Notice how some Rishonim, look for example at this Ritva here in the Shidduch Kibetzes. So again, he addresses the Stira and he just says, like, I don't know why everybody's making such a big fuss. You know, when the Gemara says Kinyan, it just means Dvarim. You know, it's like it says Kinyan, but Lav Dafki, you need a Kinyan. Just you need some symbolic thing or even a verbal proclamation to be enough. This may be like Cole, But the problem is, Cole, like, he doesn't even say anything explicitly about Hana, unless he's taken that as obvious, right? And maybe it's, if you're willing to accept the Bidvarim, it's obvious that there's some Hana that's going to be embedded there. But for you, Cole, you're saying it's obvious you need some sort of consideration.
I'm saying that's one
view.
There's one, yeah, one view. I think that Rav Chan, there's a view that you need consideration. There's a view that I don't think is mainstream in the halachic literature, which is that a contract is just an exchange of promises. And then I think the Rav Chaim's view was that basically all you need is an exchange of promises, but that always has to be expressed in some kind of transfer of property interest, which is why, and the fact that you basically just need an exchange of promises, what he calls the Kenyan Das, is what accounts for the very broad view we're willing to take about what counts as a Maisa Kenyan. I'm not sure either of those quite is Rav Yochanan's view, because again, he has this, as far as I can read it, this kind of staggered view within an institution to create an institution, that distinction as well. In which case, the ability to affect a change in a legal relationship that just depends on, you know, like hahi hana in the broad sense, is always parasitic on a more robust, on a relationship created with a more robust kind of action.
Yeah. Let me just call your attention to this Rambam's formulation over here on this question about these different formulations about what's required. Is it just Dvarim Ba'alma? Right, so I'm just going to go back to the language of the Gemara for a second. Our Gemara used the phrase at the very beginning of the Makoros here on Sadi Dalid. If you look at the Rambam, when he quotes the Talacha, look what he says in Perek Beis Halacha Tasef Hilchos Shomrim. Curious to hear what you think of this formulation. What stands out to you? Evan, yeah. Oh, Cole.
Yeah, he calls it Kol Tanai Sheba Mamon sounds like it's Tanayim are dependent on Kinyanim. So there's some pride. He views it as a kind of like, you don't create a relationship with Tanai. You can create a relationship and then you add Tanayim.
Right, but notice he doesn't even require Han. He doesn't say anything about Hana here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
But I think for the reasons that you're...
Yeah, okay. Okay.
For reasons that you're getting at almost, right? This is just like to mock. To stipulate terms.
So he's passing against Rav Yochanan?
It sounds like, or he's understanding Rav Yochanan, like the Hana really is not so significant, maybe. Right? He's just saying,
I just realized this is even a weaker view, because Rav Yochanan was assuming a Kenyan and you just need like a weaker Maisa. This downgrades it further.
Right. Ain't not Tzarech Kenyan Velo Edim. The Rambam doesn't say you need Hana. Maybe there's some things that as implicit. And he says, okay. Yeah. Meaning you don't need a Kenyan for a Tanai. So we have to figure out what the Rama means by that. And
just hold on. Vasholi al Pater Milashalim. Oh. Hold on.
It goes both ways. The first case is Pater, the second case
is
Tanai.
Yeah, darn it. He goes in both directions at once. I was thinking maybe right. All right.
So we want to figure this out. We want to figure out why what this means. Is Tanai Shel Mamon somehow different from this idea of Bahiyana Gomer Mishabi Nafshe? It could be that that's what the Rambam is getting at in this line. Okay. So let me just briefly mention what I want to look at in the next Chabura. So you can see, by the way, so one thing I want to look at is this Rambam. what happened? Are there three different things going on? Are there three options or two options? Meaning, is it Kinyan, Hana, and just Tanai? Or are Tanai and Hana bound together? You can see, so the Rambam seems to omit Hana. The Sefer HaTrumos and the Gidulei Truma weigh in on this question. The Gidulei Truma is worried about what happened to the Hana requirement. Then I want to look at this question that comes up in the Achronim, the Shir of Shmuel here, and in the Minchas Chinuch, and some of the discussion here about, are you actually modifying the rules of Shomrim / becoming a different type of Shomer, or are you just mimicking that type of liability? So that's what these Achronim are about. So I want to take a closer look at that question. And then I want to take up the discussion in this Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which is about, it's a related question, but some Achronim are worried about this idea of a Kinyan Dvarim. How could you be Machayev yourself now for a Chalos that's going to happen later? So how could I be Machayev myself now to be Machayev myself under certain conditions like Ones, etc.? All right, but Kivagor is worried about that, and he thinks that question forces one interpretation of the Gemara about, you know, whether you're becoming a certain type of Shomer, when is the liability going into effect? In other words, what these Achronim are worried about is to what extent are we dealing with general Hischaivus questions versus something else, a different principle called, like, modifying the terms of the previously existing legal relationship. It's like modifying the rules of Shomrim versus type of Hiskaivos. So I want to talk about these two issues. And then that'll be a wrap for the end of Sochar Zapolim. And then I think we can get started in the parak of Hashoah. Does that sound like a good game plan?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's stop. We'll stop early today. And we'll take up this question of Hana and Hischaivos in the next Kabura. Sound good? So just start preparing the Makoros in the end of the sword sheet over there. Shkoyach, guys.
Oh, Itamar?
Yeah.
How late do you want to, how late do you want the year to go?
I don't know. How late does everybody want to go? I'm okay going through.